We're just going to continue on. This is the fourth in this series here. And our foundation scriptures are found in Matthew 12. I'll read that first. Matthew 12, verse 25. And knowing their thoughts, this is Jesus, he said to them, any kingdom that is divided, split up, divided into parties, divided into factions against itself is being brought to desolation and laid waste. No city or house divided against itself will last or continue to stand. And so the enemy wants to bring division. He's doing all he can. I mean, it started in the garden. You can look all through the Bible, him trying to bring division. And I'm a student of history, and you know I've read a lot about American history. You know that already. But I've also read about Roman history. They're a great, mighty nation, great warriors. They weren't destroyed by another army. They were destroyed from within. They were a house divided. And so any family, group, team, church, country, whatever it is, that's what the enemy's strategy is, divide and conquer. But there's power in unity. Psalm 133 message says this, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessings, ordains eternal life. And so there's power when we come together. There's power in unity. There's power when we lay aside our differences and come together around a vision, a cause, a purpose. And that's where God's power flows. And you read about that in the early church. The phrase they use is one accord. It's so difficult to get a group, to get a couple, to get a family together in one accord. It's not easy to do. But when you do, and it can be done through the Spirit of God, amazing things will happen. So let's get into this next part of unity that I want to talk about. Go back to James 1. Read this last week. We dealt with anger. That was just a timely message, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here for that, to go back and listen to that again. But James 1, verse 19, Amplified, says this, understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and get angry. So I talked about anger last week, and so this week we want to talk about offense. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad he's talking about offense today? Do you mean that? Come on now. Offense is the root cause of anger. One of the root causes of anger. What is offense? In just its purest form, this word means stumbling block. You know, you're off-ended. Get you off-ended. Stumbling block. But this is when you feel that someone in their words or actions disrespects or treats you unfairly. And because of the words and actions, it causes feelings of hurt, anger, resentment, annoyance, displeasure. All of this can lead to bitterness. That doesn't sound good, does it, at all? And so, of course, when offense comes, it draws you back from that person that offended you. But there's a bigger picture here and a bigger thing that we need to be aware of. And that's found in Mark 4. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Mark 4. We love Mark 4 around here. Preached many messages on over the years. And you know it's the parable of the sower. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the parables? Yet this is a central parable for Jesus and for us. But Mark 4, verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. So you see what the The purpose of the enemy is he doesn't want the word to get in your heart. There's power in the word. The word strengthens you. It renews your mind. It brings health and healing to your body. It brings life. It brings wholeness. It brings God on the scene. Jesus and his word are one. And so if you want Jesus, you want his words. It's a light onto our path. It's a guide. It's a safety net for the Holy Spirit to lead us in his plan. And so Satan is coming to steal that word. And you got to realize that's one of his primary jobs, is to steal the word sown in your heart. In the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive it and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, again, it's about the word again, and they immediately are offended, they become displeased, indignant, resentful, they stumble and fall away. And again, and so that stumbling block causes you to be offended, offended. And it says here that you'll stumble and fall away. Now, and so the bigger picture here is certainly the person that offended you, you draw back from that person. But the bigger thing that the enemy's trying to do then, he's trying to stir up this offense in your life to cause you to draw back from your family, cause you to draw back from friends, cause you to draw back from your community, cause you to draw back from church. Ultimately, he wants you to draw back from God and God's word. So that's the bigger picture of what he's trying to do. And so something that can start off really is not really a major thing can turn into something really big. And that's certainly what the enemy does. He wants to twist things. He wants to stir things up. Hebrews 12, verse 14, says this: strive to live in peace with everybody. I like that, strive. And pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another. So we need to look out for each other. And see that no one falls back. You draw back, you fall back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. So he's trying to take offense, trying to get you hurt, angry, resentful, turn that into bitterness, leads to contamination. This word contamination means to be stained, polluted, and ultimately leads to sin. So he's trying to take something that's, something done against you and cause sin in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that the person that offended you, it could be they were trying to harm you on purpose. But most of the time, they didn't mean to insult you. They didn't mean to treat you unfairly. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up on a particular day and say, boy, I'm going to offend some people today. Does anybody do that? I know the leadership here, we have our executive team meetings. We talk about the congregation. I mean, we don't hate the congregation. We're not against the congregation. We love the congregation. And so we're not trying to do anything in our leadership style to offend anybody. We know that it happens, but we're not trying to do it on purpose. A lot of times we don't have knowledge about it until someone lets us know. But so the person that offended you may not even know they've done anything, and yet you're hurt and you're in a lot of pain. And so they're just kind of going off with their life. That probably makes you, matter. They don't seem to be upset by it because most of the time they don't know. So what do we do about offense? Offense is going to come to all of us. It's going to come to your house. It's going to come to you personally. What can we do about it? Go to Ephesians 4. Let me read some verses, and I'll give you some practical tips to deal with offense. Ephesians 4, verse 26. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Now go down to verse 29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is the fitting to the need and occasion, that it may be a blessing and give God's grace, God's favor to those who hear it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, a final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, this is all part of offense, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another. Everybody say forgiving one another. Oh, I like this. Readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. All right, let's go through some of these points here. First of all, in dealing with offense, you have to recognize what the devil wants to do with this offense and this pain you're feeling. He wants to bring division. He wants to bring strife. He wants to tear you down. Ultimately, he wants you to draw back from him, from God, and draw back from the Word. So when offense comes, recognize immediately what's trying to happen in your life, and recognize you've got authority over the devil. Take your authority. Devil, you're not going to have any place in this situation. I'm giving you no opportunity. I'm giving you no place. And you've got to speak it out with your mouth. And say, no, you're not going to have this relationship. You're not going to have this family. You're not going to have this church. You're not going to steal my relationship from God. So immediately recognize it's the enemy at work. And then recognizing what the purpose of that offense is. The second one is, and it's hard not to do this one, do not go around telling everybody about your hurt. Because what's this going to do? What this is going to do, it's going to make it worse. And then what you're trying to do is you're trying to get people on your side, because they don't really know what happened. But you want to go around telling as many people as you can, get them on your side, so they'll have bad feelings towards that person, that they'll take your offense with, they'll take your offense, call that borrowed offense, so we can now gang up on this other person. That's unscriptural. I just read about it. The power of our words. Now, do you need to talk to somebody? Yeah, but talk to a trusted friend. Talk to your mate. Talk to a faith friend. Don't just go around talking to everybody. Keep it in the small numbers. And it's to get counsel. Maybe to share your heart. To share that hurt. But keep it in a small group. And I know, like with Susie, I mean, we'll give each other, if we've got something we're offended about, we'll give them a couple of conversations. But around that third conversation, we're going to say to each other, it happens all the time, you got to forgive. You got to forgive that person. So we don't at our house, we don't pet that. We don't embrace that. We don't encourage, you know, feeding gossip or feeding these things, because we know it makes it, you know, a molehill into a mountain. The third thing you need to do is, and this is a tough one, forgive. Jesus and God freely forgave us. We're like him. We're like our master. We need to forgive. And when you forgive, what you do is you're foregoing punishment. Because what happens when you have unforgiveness, you've been hurt, so now you want to hurt that person. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? And you want to do what you can. Silent treatment. That's a form of punishment. Words, actions, stirring up gossip. You know, whatever you can think of to get back and strike back at that other person. And I'm not discounting your pain, but holding on to your pain is not the answer. And feeding that pain is not the answer. Forgiveness will remove the pain. Now, it may take several times to do it. We do it by faith. We do it with our words. We make a decision to do it. But what you're saying is, I forego the punishment of that person. I release them of that punishment in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to do this. And we could do a whole, maybe that's my next message, is on forgiveness. Maybe a whole sermon on that. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? But we need to forgive and what? Forgive and forget. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12, not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we need to forgive and we need to forget. We don't need to hold on to it. We need to release it. We need to release that person of punishment. And you have to do it by faith, because I don't know if you've ever had this situation. I've been hurt by a lot of people, but certainly I've been hurt in ministry. It was in a ministerial group and asked to help out in a situation. And as Susan and I stepped in to help the organization, they actually turned on us, kicked us out, lied about us, whole series of things. And here, our motives was to be a blessing that Eddie was talking about. And then we ended up being cursed for our blessing. And that hurt. That took some time to get over. And towards the leader of that organization, I had to forgive by faith, because I tried to do it in my own strength and I couldn't do it. I mean, just hatred. Thinking about how I can strike back. Thinking about how I can hurt that person. And I actually had documents and things that I could have, you know, used and distributed that would have hurt them. But I chose not to do it. And so God helped me to forgive. The Holy Spirit empowered me to forgive, because it's at his nature. And then he's helped me to forget. And seriously, that leader could walk in here today and I could go out to eat with him. Because I am free. I'm a free man. I don't want to see them go down. I don't want to see them hurt. I don't want to see them punished. I don't want to strike back. And I'm not saying it was easy to do, but the Holy Spirit helped me do it. If I give him a little bit to work with, I got to give him my words. I got to give him my heart. I've got to make the decision. But then the Holy Spirit will empower you. And so that bitterness, that hurt that you're feeling, you can be free from it. You don't need to hang on to it any longer. You can be free today. And there's all kinds of situations that have happened to people in this room. All kind of offense. And some really serious words and physical things done. But I'm telling you, the power of God is present to heal. The power of God can restore. The power of God can help you to forgive. And you need to forgive. And he'll help you erase it. Where it's got no power over you. Because then again, the enemy's trying to twist it. And I'm sorry that offense came. I'm sorry that these things happened. It wasn't God. God didn't do it. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. It came from the enemy. Whether that person knew it or not, the enemy has twisted it. And he's trying to do his work of stealing, killing, and destroying. Yeah. Feelings are powerful. You're talking about your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Those feelings are so powerful. I mean, hard to control. Your will is more powerful than God's will in your life. So unless you yield to the Holy Spirit, it's not going to change. It's not going to get better. So forgive and forget. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but that's the right thing to do. That's God's way. And if you're willing and if you're open to the Word and you're open to the Holy Spirit, He'll help you do it. Now this next one, is really good, but very few people do it. You ever thought about going to the person? Huh? I know that's radical. Going to the person that offended you. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew 18, verse 15, Message translation. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Man, that's radical. This is Bible. Go and tell him. It doesn't mean it's easy. Holy Spirit's going to help you do it. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. It's a cycle. Confront him with the need for repentance. Offer again God's forgiving love. Now, there's a difference between a slight and someone hurting you by their actions and a sin. Now, a sin would be obvious, like they lie to you, they steal from you, they gossip about you. I mean, those are sins. You miss the mark. But, you know, if you're offended because I didn't send you a birthday message on Facebook, I don't know if I would bring several people with me to come confront you about that. Now, it doesn't mean you may not need to, if you're offended and you're hurt, Maybe you need to go, it's going to be kind of silly. But you have no idea what people get offended about. Huh? That's the problem. I mean, well, I wish I had a list. So many different things, especially in church. I hate to say it, but believers in most cases are easily offended. We shouldn't have had any amens on that. Easily offended. I think sometimes people in the world are a little tougher than we are. So if I'm dealing with a sin and I go to the person and they don't repent, that's when you bring the other folks. Second time around. Now, we've never had tell it to the church. But we can start today if you want. The majority of the time, if it comes to that point where you bring a second or third person, the majority of the time they receive it. But what happens, you know, if they don't, they'll probably leave the group. That's happened. But it's never come to the point where, you know, we had to tell it to the church. But I'm open to God. I mean, whatever he... No, I wouldn't. You know, I'll follow him. I can't think of a situation, but I'm sure there is one. So go to the person. Don't go angry. Don't go ready to blast. Go ready to talk to the person and tell them how you've been hurt. And most of the time, that person's going to receive it. And they're going to say, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I didn't know. I had no idea. I didn't know I insulted you. I didn't know I just disrespected. I didn't mean to do it. But this is Bible here. And this is the way leaders here ought to deal with things. This is the way team members here ought to deal with things. This is the way members of the church ought to deal with things. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him, work it out between the two of you. And if you need help, get help. That'll help somebody there today. And if you want some advice on how to do that, come talk to me. I'll give you some good advice. I've done it. I've had it done to me. And I'll tell you this. I don't know of any with the people here today. Seriously, I don't know of any offense that I've committed against you, but I'm sure I've done something. And if you're hurt with me, come tell me, because I don't know about it. I'm going on with my life, and you're mad at me. I have no idea what you're mad about. I can't read your mind unless the Holy Spirit tells me. So I'm just opening myself. Come talk to me about it. So I'm going to have a lineup of appointments this week. And I'll listen. And I will apologize. And if I've hurt you, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry if I've given any place to the devil. You know, we're most likely, I know, we're all going to be offended and we're all going to offend somebody. But we just don't need to give it any place and let the enemy twist it and make it something bigger, because we know what his purpose and his plan is. So offense does not promote unity. Offense doesn't bring people together. Offense that continues brings division. All right, this next one is so obvious, but yet it's difficult for people to do. Don't isolate yourself from your church, your team, your Bible study, your prayer group. It's the very community you need for forgiveness and healing and moving forward. But the enemy wants you to draw back because of hurt, and I'm going to punish them. And I hope that those people that are watching by live streaming, you're not watching live streaming because you're offended. If you're offended, go to the person, work it out. Come, if it's me, come deal with it. And just come back. If you can, come back and get in church. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider and give an attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. That's just not the job of the pastoral care team. This should be members of the body of Christ, members of the church. Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. So again, by live streaming or maybe here, if you are so hurt and you're not going to get it worked out, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, go to some other church then. Because how is this helping you? The word that's being spoken is just being stolen. Go to a place where you can receive and hear the word and be fed. I'm a pastor. I want to see the sheep fed. I want to see them grow. I want to see transformation. I don't want to see you in pain and suffering. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. Don't get in the habit of this. But admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. We need to assemble now more than ever. There's a new a paraphrase of the New Testament called the Passion Translation. Passion paraphrase. And it says to meet together more often. We need to meet more often as we see the end approaching. Not less. We need to meet more. So, of course, whoever this point is for, I mean, they're not here. You're here. But just so you know, in the future, what he wants you to do, get hurt and offended and not come back to the body. And how sad is that? God's called you to Good News Church, but because you're offended, you're not here. Now, if he calls you to another church, then be obedient. But don't leave one body because you're offended. That's not the Bible way. Deal with it. And then if he's leading you somewhere else, fine. But so many times, the letters I've gotten from members, and we've had very few really over the years, but you know, they say that God's leading them, but I can kind of read between the lines, offense. Why? Because I know they mention it, you know, third paragraph down. God's leading me, but all right, I saved the best for last. Who wants the best right here? All right, this is a good one, guys. Determined to be, and I don't think this is a word, but I'm making it up today, so I'm up here at the microphone, I can make up things. Determined to be unoffendable. Determined to be unoffendable. And make this your goal. This is a sign of a mature believer. You, my friend, are a peacemaker. You are a minister of reconciliation. And then WWJD. What would Jesus do? I know what Jesus would do, because Jesus was on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This guy was beaten, nails, thorns, spear, slapped, spit upon. And he was sinless. He didn't offend anybody. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels to come to his rescue. So WWJD, what would Jesus do? He would forgive. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That, my friends, I mean, that's the ultimate in maturity there. And aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't have a root of bitterness? Aren't you glad that Jesus, I mean, I'm going to live under the Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If that was the case, man, we'd be in serious trouble. But forgiveness is the key to Christianity. So make it your goal to be unoffendable. Now, I've got some great verses for you. Now, just don't tune me out as I start reading them. Because a lot of times you read these verses and you're like, well, forget that. All right, let's put it up there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is the unoffendable person right here. Love, talking about agape love, the God kind of love, which you have. That love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You've been born again in agape love. You've been born again in sloppy agape. It's just oozing all over your spirit. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Oh, this is good. It is not touchy. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's not touchy." Now, turn to your other neighbor and say, "You're not touchy." Speaking faith over you. You're not touchy. You're not touchy. You're not touchy. You, Terry never has been, never will be. Matt's not touchy. That's the church. We're touchy. We're not quick to forgive or slow to be angry, slow to offense. We're quick to anger, quick to offense. Not touchy or fretful or resentful. Takes no account of the evil done to it. Now that's some maturity there. Takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's what the devil wants you to do. Pay attention to it. Give it a place. Feed it. Gossip about it. Tell everybody. Stir it up. Does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, ever ready to believe the best. Oh, they didn't mean that. The best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Love always wins. Love always succeeds. Love always comes through. It never fails. We need to believe for this. This is a great confession. Because if we want to be the church and we want to be unoffendable, we're going to have to be the 1 Corinthians 13 kind of people. We want the gifts of the Spirit. This is the secret for the gifts of the Spirit. This is a secret for the power of God. Anybody that's seen a group of people that have seen the power of God in manifestation, there's harmony, there's unity, there's love. We need to believe for this. I'm believing for a church of one accord. I'm not going to let the devil come into this house and bring division. I'm going to use my words. I'm not going to strike back at people. I'm going to take the authority on the devil and tell him to get out of here. He's got no right to be here. I'm going to tell the devil, take your hands off God's property. I'm going to be a peacemaker. If I need to step in and bring people together, I bring God's grace. I am a minister of reconciliation. I reconcile. I'm skilled at it. Reconciling people to God, reconciling people to each other. That's my ministry. So I walk in the ministry of forgiveness. That's the kind of atmosphere, that's the kind of place we want this to be. Now, again, it's not easy to do. At any given time, there's offenses popping up everywhere. Devil's going to see to it. But there's so many things we can do to deal with it. Let's be hearers and doers of the word. I didn't give you my opinions today. This is what you ought to do. I told you what the word says. It's not my opinion. I clearly showed you in the word of God. If we call ourselves a word church, word and spirit, then we got to be obedient to the word. We got to help each other. So praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Stand up, everybody. I'm not going to call anybody forward today, or there may be some other ministry that's going to happen, but I'm not going to call you forward for prayer about offense. I just want you right now to deal with some things. To, look inward. Have you been hurt? Are you annoyed at somebody? You see their face and just these feelings arise. Is there somebody today that you need to forgive? Go ahead and do that right now in the name of Jesus. I just sense that all during the service, the power of forgiveness is here. Father, help us to forgive today. Help us to let go of punishment. Let things release that person. And then empower us not only to forgive, Lord, but empower us to forget it. Supernatural erasing. And Lord, if there's somebody that we need to go talk to, another believer, Lord, give us the strength and the boldness to do that today, to step out and go talk to that person. And Father, I pray as they have that conversation for reconciliation, for healing, that they'll actually, those people will be closer than they were before. Give no place to the devil, no opportunity to the devil. Now, as earlier in the service, I just got this thing about race relations, and a whole lot of things trying to be stirred up in this country about that. We're not that church. We can't have that here at Good News Church. Our name is Good News. We give life. So let's just come into agreement right now and make a decision collectively. We're going to be a church of agape love. We're going to lay aside any racial divisions or racial hatred. I'm not just talking black and white. I'm talking about all kinds of things. We're not that church. We're followers of Christ. We're believers. We're in Him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for unity and harmony at Good News Church. I thank You for one accord. I'm believing for it. That we'll come together like never before. Lay aside our differences for the bigger purpose. And if there is any hatred or bitterness or resentment towards another race, we let that go right now in Jesus' name. I let it go. Let it go in the name of Jesus. That we be known as a church of love and harmony and unity. Real agape love here. So I thank You for it, Father. I give You praise. I pray for the people today that we not follow the course of the world, that we follow Jesus and follow the Holy Spirit and listen to You. Help us to deal with offense today. Help us to deal with that hurt. Help us to move forward in our lives and to be who You made us to be, to fulfill, to know and fulfill that plan. That the church, the Good News Church, will know and fulfill the vision, the mission. But also each person will know and fulfill the plan You have for their lives. Free to do that, Father. Free to live long, satisfied lives. No regrets. Thank You for it, Father. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Be seated just a minute, please. When Matt read there in 1 Corinthians 13, the scripture said that we are to pay no attention to a suffered wrong. It's one thing to come in here to a service and to hear a message like this and God to deal with you and you maybe pray and I'll there and pray for forgiveness. But, you know, we're going to leave and we're going to go out of here. And Jesus said in the scripture that it is impossible that offense not come. So one thing you can say is that offense is going to come. And we know from Mark 4, offense comes for one purpose. Why does offense come? Why? Why does offense come to you? To steal the word. And the Bible said, we just read, that we, as people who have God's love filling us, that we pay no attention to a suffered wrong. But here's what happens. We leave, we go out in our lives, and offense comes. Somebody does us wrong. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody may do you wrong before you leave the building. But you have a choice when something's done against you, what you're going to do with your attention. Are you going to pay attention to the suffered wrong? Or are you going to obey what Proverbs says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For these words, my words, are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh." So here's what we can do. We can give attention to the suffered wrong, or we can give attention to the word. And you're doing one or the other, baby doll. And you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, what are you thinking about? What are you running over and over in your head? What is your attention on? Are you noticing? Are you keeping score? Are you just, y'all look, I come from a long line of people who are very good at this. I was trained by the best. My grandmother, when she lived down at St. John's Towers, she had it in for somebody down there, and she would tell me, "I pass and I repass them in the hall, and I won't look at them." I mean, I guess she really showed them. She's not going to look at them. I'm just passing and repassing. I'm showing them. And some of y'all, probably a lot of you, you were raised to take very good accounting of suffered wrongs. And you have to learn a new way of life. And you have to quit putting your attention there. And you have to put your attention on the Word. Now, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to just tell you. Here's the deal. I had a great opportunity earlier this year to be offended. And I could tell you my story and you'd get offended with me. You'd love it. Boy, I could get you riled up. There's something in my hair? A bug? That's offensive. But here's what I had to choose. Now here, it wasn't easy. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's not necessarily like the thing you want to do. I can tell you for sure. It's not the thing you want to do. You want to justify your anger and your resentment. And you want to tell everybody your deal. That's what you want to do. But what you have to do instead is you have to choose to pay attention to the Word. So I was upset for a bit. I tried to talk to somebody about it. When I was talking to this person, you know how Matt said you go to somebody and you talk to them, somebody you can trust, and I was telling them about it. And this person said to me, this is what they said to me. They said, well, sounds to me like you're trying to justify yourself and you're trying to justify your offense and trying to justify your anger. That's all I hear. Thanks, Grayson. That's really what you want to hear from your 19-year-old kid. Sounds, you were 19 when this happened, buddy. Trying to justify yourself. I'm telling you, I was justified. But so what I had to do is I had to deal with, now I'm offended with him. But what I had to do is I had to choose, what was I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to give my attention to? So you know what I did? I did what I've heard sitting right there in that chair again and again. But I didn't get a legal pad. I got me some index cards. And I wrote down, I went through the Bible and I wrote down some scriptures. I wrote down 5 different scriptures. One of my scriptures I wrote down was Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Another scripture I wrote down was Galatians 2:20. Does anybody know what Galatians 2:20 says? It says, I was crucified with Christ. I mean, just those words alone. There went my offense. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But hey, it's not really me living. It's just really, one translation says, it's really just Christ using my body. Well, that was a good scripture because, I mean, how are you going to have offense when you were crucified with Christ? And several other scriptures. And then I kept those with me and I read them several times a day. And whenever my attention would wander to my offense, I would bring my attention back to the Word. And then it would wander to my offense and I'd have to bring it back to the Word. And then it would wander to the offense. And then I'd get going down that offense road and I'd get myself pretty worked up. And then eventually I'd get myself back over on the Word. And then I noticed over time, less and less was my attention going to the offense. And more it was going to the Word, to the point where there wasn't any offense there. And finally, I could be free from it. And that, what I just described, is what a number of you need to do. It's not enough to just stand in here and say, yes, I forgive them, and then leave out of here, because it'll come back. Because the enemy uses this to steal the Word. Now, I want to remind you what Proverbs says. It says, if you pay attention to my words, why it's so vital for you to pay attention to the Word? Because my words are life and they are health. And some of you are sitting here sick because your attention has been on your offense and not on the Word. And we can pray healing all day long, but your attention has to be on the Word. That's where your life comes from. It doesn't come from your offense. And the more you give attention to offense, the more death you're inviting into your life, into your body, into your house, into everything that pertains to you. So your offense and your ability to be offended, I tell you that, the enemy plays on that and he plays you, and this world is full of it. The world is full of offense. It's the way of the world. It's the course of this world. We were all well trained in it, and we got to find a new way so we can live and have life and enjoy health and live long, satisfied lives that overflow with God's love and God's goodness and his blessing. So that we can minister reconciliation. It's hard to minister reconciliation out of offense. Some of the people you're offended with are the very people you are called to reconcile to God. But you can't offer reconciliation to them. You're offended with them. So these are serious matters. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for courage within us to pursue your will and your plan and not live for ourselves. Just say, I was crucified with Christ. Just say that. I was crucified with Christ. Now, that's a brutal thought. That means you died with him. So that you can live with him. And if you want to live with him and live his life, you have to count yourself dead with him. It's the only way into his life. Hallelujah. If you want the good things that God has for you, they're all available to you. Life and life more abundantly. But you can't live like the world and walk in life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Let's just pray for a moment. Pray for people that are around you. Oh, pray. We thank you, Father. We just pray. We pray for one another today. We pray for, Father, we pray for the people that have offended us. We pray for them. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are to bless those who do wrong against us. Those that persecute us, those that harm us, Father, we just lift them up to you. We ask you to bless them today. Father, we ask you to draw them close to yourself. Father, we ask you to make their pathways straight, to fill their lives with your goodness. Father, we pray for people who've done us wrong. In Jesus' name, we lift them up to you. Oh, we thank you today, Father, that there's great mercy, great mercy, great mercy available for them. And we thank you for your mercy being poured out on them today. Oh, Father, we forgive them and you've forgiven them. Father, may the love of God just abound towards them. Father, bring people across their pathway that'll do good to them. Oh, we ask you, Father, to bless them and bring great mercy and grace upon them. Hallelujah. That wasn't very enthusiastic praying for people that have done you wrong. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus hanging on the cross prayed for the people that put him there. That's pretty amazing, y'all. And we were crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. And Father, I thank you that as we walk out of offense and as we abide in the love of God, there is health for us and there's life for us. And I pray, Father, I pray for long-standing, chronic, recurring pain, sickness, and disease that it be rooted out as bitterness and offense is rooted out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we are redeemed from that curse of sickness and disease. And we're not given any place to it. Not any place. 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 In Jesus' name, we give you no place. And Father, I ask you to enlighten our eyes, the understanding that we have, help all of us to see plainly what it is. that the enemy's trying to do to see offense for what it is. It's a thief. Doesn't add anything. It's a thief. And we thank you today, Father, for the light coming on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God.